Today, the Supreme Court hears arguments in a major campaign funding case. It involves spending restrictions and what Congress called the McCain-Feingold Campaign Reform Act. The court has taken on two new justices since the last time it considered this act, and we have more from NPR legal affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg.
In 2003, the Supreme Court upheld the McCain-Feingold law as a constitutional exercise of congressional power aimed at limiting the corrupting influence of corporations and labor unions in elections. A key provision of the act outlaws using corporate or labor general treasury funds to pay for radio and TV ads that name a candidate in the 60 days prior to a general election or the 30 days prior to a primary. The provision was aimed at so-called sham issue ads, ads that are meant to hurt or help a named candidate, but that masquerade as issue ads in order to avoid the limits imposed on campaign fundraising. In 2004, a lobbying organization called Wisconsin Right to Life went to court to block enforcement of the campaign law so that it could run ads like this one in the 60 days prior to the general election.
There are a lot of judicial nominees out there who can't go to work. Their careers are put on hold because a group of U.S. senators is filibustering, blocking qualified nominees from a simple yes or no vote. It's politics at work, and it's causing gridlock. Contact Senators Feingold and Cole and tell them to oppose the filibuster. Visit BeFair.org.
Wisconsin Right to Life had long opposed the re-election of Senator Feingold, who was on the ballot that year, but lawyer James Bopp, who represents the organization, says this was not a campaign ad. It was an anti-filibuster ad.
Wisconsin Right to Life wanted to do grassroots lobbying about an upcoming vote in Congress. Their ads had nothing to do with the election.
The federal government and campaign reformers contend that this ad is exactly the kind of sham issue ad that the Supreme Court said Congress was justified in regulating at election time. Randy Moss represents Senator John McCain, who, along with Senator Feingold, was the principal author of the campaign law.
The ad urges the listeners to contact Senator Feingold. But the only contact information that is provided is for a website maintained by Wisconsin Right to Life. And when one goes to that website, it then further attacks Senator Feingold.
What's more, says Moss, the ad was run at a time when no votes were scheduled in the Senate on the filibuster. And 6 months later, when there was a vote scheduled after the election, the ad was not run. Bob responds that filibuster votes could have taken place in the fall but did not materialize, and there was no phone number or address for contacting Senator Feingold in the ad because that information would be too difficult to remember, so a simple website was used instead. The details matter because if this ad is considered an issue ad and not a campaign ad, it is free of the restraints imposed by the campaign law, and so too would be a lot of other ads. Campaign reform advocate Fred Wertheimer.
The effort here is to create a loophole in the statute that you can drive a battalion through.
As Wisconsin Right to Life concedes in its brief, this lawsuit is also an effort to reverse, to a large degree, the Supreme Court's 5-4 decision upholding the McCain-Feingold law. The strongly worded opinion in that case was co-authored by Justice Sandra Day O'Connor, but O'Connor has retired to be replaced by Justice Samuel Alito. Alito has already hinted in other cases that he may not uphold the regimen approved by the court in the McCain-Feingold law. That leaves the new Chief Justice, John Roberts, as the likely swing vote. At the heart of today's argument is a deep philosophical disagreement about whether campaign money is speech, what limits are permissible in regulating the use of corporate and labor money for campaign ads, and what limits Congress may impose to try to curb the influence of big money in elections. To reform advocates, the law is not about what people can say in ads, but what kind of money can be used to pay for the ads. The federal law barring the use of corporate general treasury funds for campaigns was first upheld 100 years ago. The reasons? First, to prevent a corporation from using shareholders' money for purposes they may not agree with, and second, to curb the corrupting influence of big money. Democracy 21 President Fred Wertheimer says funneling corporate money into a group like Wisconsin Right to Life is just an avoidance tactic.
The groups can aggregate extraordinary amounts of wealth. And if you turn those loose on the political system and on elections, you can drown the electoral process.
That's not the point, says Right to Life lawyer James Bopp.
There's nothing evil or corrupt about corporations lobbying. But see, it's really not about all that. What it's about is the centuries-old effort of incumbent politicians and government generally to prevent people from criticizing them.
As deep as the philosophical debate is, the central question in this case involves some basics about the Supreme Court's established principles on campaign finance laws. The court has upheld limits on individual contributions and contributions to political action committees. An individual may give $5,000 a year to a political action committee, plus a total of $4,600 for a primary and general election campaign. If Wisconsin Right to Life had used its political action committee, its PAC, to finance its ads, there would have been no problem. But it did not. Lawyer James Bopp.
It's much more difficult to raise PAC money. So it's a lot scarcer.
What's more, he says, this ad campaign was not an election campaign, but a lobbying campaign. And therefore, Wisconsin Right to Life used about $300,000, raised in large chunks from corporations and individuals. And since the organization claims that these ads are not covered by campaign laws, the contribution amounts are unlimited and do not have to be disclosed. In short, the ads are easier to finance, and the sources of the money can remain hidden. Lawyer Bopp contends that Wisconsin Right to Life should be able to finance its ads any way it wishes, because the ads are at the heart of political speech guaranteed by the First Amendment.
We got abortion on demand in America because of the federal judiciary. So Wisconsin Right to Life wants strict constructionists to be appointed of the type that Bush customarily and routinely has nominated. And so they don't want those judicial nominees to be defeated.
Campaign reformer Fred Wertheimer responds that Wisconsin Right to Life can run as many broadcast ads as it wants and saying anything it wants at election time as long as it raises money from individuals, not corporations or unions, and as long as the contributions are limited in amounts and disclosed.
We want individuals, the people who vote, to pay for campaigns. Now, to the extent that Wisconsin Right to Life can raise money from individuals under the law, they, just like everyone else, can participate with money in campaigns, but they have to follow the same rules that everyone else does.
4 years ago, a closely divided Supreme Court agreed with that premise. The question now is whether the newly constituted court will stick to it. Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.